In Exodus 34, we read one of the most comforting descriptions of our Lord, that he is keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And yet even this comfort is met with the horror of the following words: yet he will by no means excuse the guilty. How can this be resolved without a Savior? How can this be resolved without a Savior? Do you not realize the surpassing worth of knowing Christ by now? Can you indulge me as I hold up a proverbial mirror to your sin in order to make known to you the surpassing worth of knowing Christ? Do you not see the severity of your sin and the totality of your depravity? Christ took your cup. Do you understand this? Christ took your cup. Turn with me in your Bibles so that we can witness this together. In Luke chapter 22, we'll be starting in verse 39. It says, "And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And while he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, 'Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?' And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, 'Lord, shall we strike with the sword?' And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, 'No, no more of this.' And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers and the temple elders who had come out against him, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour in the power of darkness.' Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance." So we come to this place where we can see that Jesus did not hide from Judas. You see, there in the beginning, it was his customary place. He went to his customary and commonly place in order that Judas would find him. Not so that he wasn't hiding. It was so he would be found. Why is that? This does not paint us a picture of a poor and helpless Jesus, but rather it more fully demonstrates the omnipotence, the all-powerful nature of him, and complete sovereignty and control over this divine plan of his. His control over this situation is further evidenced in Acts 2:23, where we read that Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, that he was crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, completely within the sovereign reach of God. Jesus had previously told the apostles that nobody was taking Jesus' life from him, but instead that he himself laid it down on his own accord voluntarily. In the Gospel of John, Jesus clearly states that he had the authority to lay it down when he wanted to, as well as the authority to take it up again when he wanted to. Christ was not helpless. He took this cup voluntarily. Though he agonized at the cost and its implication of separation from the Father, he took it because he chose to. What I find interesting about verse 42, if you turn there, is that though we can affirm Christ's authority and complete control over whether he is to lay down his life and drink of this cup, he has an obvious displeasure with it. Though Christ wants to please the Father and reconcile the church to himself, there is a very real sense in which he abhors the thought of tarnishing his intimacy with the Father and drinking down his cup of wrath. I wonder why. The following agony described of Christ is immeasurable. Do we really understand that? The following agony described of Christ is immeasurable. You have no idea what he went through in that garden. You have no idea. Any anxiety attack or panic attack doesn't come close. If you've ever experienced, it is a horrifying thing to have a panic attack. It doesn't come close to what happened in the garden. It does not come close. Imagine the severity of what Jesus endured in the garden. For us to drink the cup of God's wrath would be no scandal, because we are full deserving of it, and we dwell comfortably in our depravity. But the pure, spotless Lamb who knew no sin, the only one who ever lived a life completely without sin and had a perfect relationship with the Father from beyond the corridors of what we can fathom, what we can even understand of eternity, for him to take the cup for us, it's sick. It's a sick and revolting thing. It makes me sick to think. That's what it took. It's a scandal. It's a scandal unlike I could ever imagine. Not that Christ was scandalous in subjecting himself, but scandalous that the perfect spotless Lamb would die to make a wretch his treasure. If you would have been there, if you would have been there, if you would have seen the blood-soaked man in the garden, if you would have witnessed the agony and pain in his voice as he pled with his Father, that if there were any other way that this cup might pass from him, then you'd see the fullness of your depravity. We know today, through the medical profession, that there are those who suffer from this as a common occurrence. But there is a more rare case of it, where your anxiety and your panic and your discomfort is so immense. The capillaries underneath your skin, the capillaries underneath your sweat glands burst and blood pours out from your skin. This is what Christ went through in the garden. As the song says, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon the cross.